because we love Jesus. And as we prepare our hearts to receive of what he's going to show to us today, we know our hearts will be filled with such wisdom, such goodness that comes from the Lord. So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing that our hearts truly belong to you. I just pray, Father, that truly your words will come alive. As your word is spoken, I pray it will speak to us in such ways that we're not going to leave here the same person. We know we're being transformed, glory to glory, by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. We're becoming more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, I pray you will have your way in this time as we completely surrender it to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, take a look at your notes. Today, the title of the sermon is Taming the Wild Horse Within Us. And, you know, we did start a sermon series, but we'll continue that at a later time. But like I said, today's sermon title is Taming the Wild Horse Within Us. You know, I remember years ago, you know, I watched on Animal Planet. You guys watch Animal Planet? Yeah, I love that channel. And there was a TV show in which a horse trainer was trying to train a wild horse. You ever seen that? Pretty interesting, you know? And this horse had probably been living in the wild for a number of years. And now it's with this human being, right? And it's surrounded actually by a number of human beings, and it seemed very agitated around them, you know, and it didn't seem to be too happy as it was entrapped in this contained enclosure. And as the horse galloped, you know, wildly and anxiously around this encircled training ground, the trainer had to establish himself as one who is calm and in control. And he was actually saying, if I show to this animal that I'm nervous, I'm done for. And, you know, one false move and the trainer could be severely injured, you know, with a kick to the head. All the horse has to do is a real swift kick and, well, he's going to have a head injury or he could be easily trampled down. So after several failed attempts to control this wild beast, the trainer approaches it with a firm and confident but gentle touch on the neck of the animal. And, you know, this person really showed himself to be a true horse whisperer. You know, some of them are called that because it seems like they can whisper to the horse and the horse just calms down and seems to want to listen to this trainer. And he's quieted and he's tamed. You know, this stubborn horse who was like galloping and just going crazy now is calm and seems like he's submitting to this trainer. And a few moments later, wow. Awesome to see, the horse appears to have total trust in the trainer and now is even willing to let him put a saddle on him and let him ride him. You know, I'm going, oh, that's pretty cool. I don't think we would want to try it, you know, go into a training ground where the horse is and try to calm him down. I'm sure we're going to be freaking out. I will be freaking out, right? But it just made me think how truly I had really a wild horse within me that was out of control. And I'm sure you could say the same for yourself. You know, before we came to know Christ, we just did whatever we want. You know, if it felt good, it made us happy, okay, let me do it. You know, let me try. And that's why I got to tell you, I did a lot of bad things in college. And it's kind of funny because my friend Ian, you know, he's here visiting Honolulu, and he was my classmate. And we're kind of sharing things, you know, the crazy things we've done in the past, and his daughters are there, you know, and they're kind of listening in. I say, yeah, you remember, Ian, what we did? And the daughter's like looking at us, right? And then, you know, my friend Ian is like, shh, Ben, not now, you know. but that's the thing, right? We did a lot of crazy things, especially when we were young. And, you know, even when I first became a Christian, you know, I thought, you know what? Now that I know the Lord, because it took years before I actually said the sinner's prayer, asked Jesus into my heart, and made a decision that I would live for him. I remember I was thinking, my life is really going to change, right? I mean, now that God has laid out for me this straight and narrow path, I'm going to stay on it forever, and I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, and I will stay on that straight and narrow path. What do you think I did? No, I backslided many a times, and I started to do things I knew I wasn't supposed to do. But I knew, you know, when I first accepted Christ, I would tell everyone, I love Jesus with all my heart. You know, it was something that came from my heart and soul, but yet there was still a struggle with it. You could say there was a wild horse, right? A wild horse that we can also, you know, call it our sinful nature. Do we all have a sinful nature? Yeah, we do. No one's excluded. Don't ever say, no, it's gone. I hear some people say, oh, I don't sin anymore, Pastor Ben. I became a Christian. I don't sin. I don't have a sinful nature. Yes, you do. We all do, but we got to tame it by the power and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power that God gives us. And, you know, this spirit of the wild horse would kick inside of me, you know, and I find myself struggling again with my past sins, the past sins that I thought were totally gone. Oh, they're still there. But that's what we're going to be talking about today, because the new year is coming. We're going to find out ways, according to what the scriptures tell us, how we can tame this wild beast once and for all, that we're not going to allow it to control us, because we're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And that's what we got to realize. And that's why I thought it would be appropriate to talk about this today, this wild horse or sinful nature, because, you know, a lot of times people, they make resolutions. Okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, or I'm going to be a better person, whatever. But we can say it. Words are easily spoken, but sometimes actions cannot take place. And we know it's not us that's going to do it, but God will. He will help us, and we're going to have great victory, because we don't want to be repeating the same sins over and over, the same thing over and over every year. You know, you say, oh, I vowed that I won't do this. You know, my resolution, you know, I will not cuss anymore. And then the end of the year comes and nothing's changed, right? Still got a bad mouth, bad attitude, whatever. But we realize we got to go to Jesus for help. And as true Christians, we want to please our Father God and defeat whatever sin may be in our lives, because you want to be victorious in Christ. You got to make a choice. How serious are you about wanting to become more like Jesus Christ? Because that is every Christian's heart, every Christian's desire, that we become more like Jesus. Look what it says here in Romans 8:37. Read it with me. Ready? Go. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So who's through him? Through Jesus, right? We are more than conquerors. That means we can just fight and expect victory on our own. We got to realize it's Jesus that's fighting our battles. Whatever your struggle is, if Jesus is there, you're calling on him for help, I guarantee you, you're going to see victory very soon. Because it's when you try to do it on your own, it's not going to cut it. I'm sorry. Because we still got this wild horse within us that still wants to buckle up. But we call on Jesus. It's like the song we just sang. There is great power, where? In the name of Jesus. And whoever you are, whatever your struggles and temptations are, right? Sweet victory is for you. The sweet victory that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is ours for the taking if you look to him. You trust in him. And we are always guaranteed success in whatever battle we're facing. You know, not because that we're totally capable of handling it ourselves, but the very fact is that God promises he will provide for us through his son, Jesus Christ. When we entrust our lives to him, he will equip you. The Bible says you are what? Never lacking. Don't ever say, oh, but I don't have this, I can't do this, I don't have the ability, I don't have the skill, I just don't have the personality. None of that. Amen? Say, I am fully equipped with what Jesus gives me. I'm fully equipped. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. And if you believe that, you trust in it, you will have victory. You're going to see, you're going to have such a wonderful year. You're not going to have all these problems that will come forth with, yeah, the struggles that we may have. Because sometimes, you know, the struggles or the sins, can they create a lot of problems in our lives? You betcha. But if we put it behind us and say, no more, wow, just imagine the blessings that will come forth in your life. So I want you to take a look at this question. It says, how can our wild horses within us become more tamed and controlled in the new year ahead of us. Well, look at number one here. It says, we gotta what? Call out the wrongful actions of your wild horse as sin. We gotta call it for what it is, right? And oftentimes when we commit a sin, right, we know for a fact that it's displeasing to the Lord. You know, sometimes you kind of go, maybe it's okay, right? Sometimes the devil right there, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. Go have some fun, right? And that's what the devil, he would love to do. And sometimes it's our friends, our coworkers, right, that are kind of like nudging us to do something we know we shouldn't be doing. But instead of trying to deal with it, we try to what? We justify it. We make excuses for it, right? And we wonder, you know, is it okay that this sin is still with us? And it seems like we can't let go of it. And we're kind of thinking, I know I'm not supposed to have this in my life. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but it's still there. And you got to ask yourself, why is it still there? Especially if you know for a fact it's affecting your relationship with God. And you know, for the Israelites, this was their big time struggle. And we will discover in Jeremiah 3, verses 12 to 14, you know, what God had to say about all this, the very fact they're struggling with the fact that they're holding on to their sins, holding on to the very things that they know displease God. I want you to look at that. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Therefore, go and give this message to Israel. This is what the Lord says. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again. For I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refuse to listen to my voice. I, the Lord, have spoken. Return home, you wayward children, says the Lord. For I am your master, and will bring you back to the land of Israel. One from this town, and two from that family, from wherever you are scattered. And that's what it is. And you can probably only imagine, you know, these Israelites, they're making all these excuses. Oh, but, you know, I cannot help myself. Oh, but. And we, you know, that's what it is. Sometimes little children, right? You know, they're facing their parents, and they know they've done something bad. You know, maybe they slapped the brother on the head or something, right? And then the dad would say, why did you do that? You're going to get spanking. And what does a child say? Oh, but, dad, you know, I just felt like my hand was itchy and I need to slap somebody, right? Whatever the excuse may be, right? And you know, and sometimes, you know, little kids, they will tell their parents, but everybody else is doing it, right? And because everybody else is doing it, I can do it too. And I remember using this line with my dad, right? Because I remember it was something like, you know, everyone was buying this really expensive toy, and, you know, I couldn't afford it, but I was begging my parents to get it, and I said, everybody get, you know, you know, dad, how come I no more? How come everybody is doing it, everybody is buying it? And I remember my dad, remember, I was only like 8 or 9 years old, and my dad said this, so, boy, if they jump in the lake and they drown, you're going to jump in there too? And I go, no, dad, you know, but that's the thing, right? We know sometimes we kind of figure everyone else is doing it, so it must be okay, even though you know it's wrong. And the truth of the matter is, right, a lot of people, they know the sin they're engaging in is wrong, right? They know that this is something that's not good. But what do? They downplay the sin as much as possible. What do I mean by that? You know, I hear people say things like, you know, Pastor, I know this drug is illegal. I know it's addicting, but I heard it's going to have positive health effects for me. I go, oh, yeah, right. And I say, why do you really want to use it? Well, sometimes it makes me really feel good too, you know? And I go, okay, there's the truth right there, okay? Or sometimes people say, you know, Pastor Ben, I know I shouldn't cuss and swear, but you know what? It helps me to keep calm and relax when I use derogatory words. And, you know, I'm going, no. The Bible says, don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth. That's what the scripture says. And, you know, people, they can make one excuse after the other, right? But, you know, sometimes people say too, you know, but Pastor, it's only a white lie, right? It's not going to hurt anybody. So I can just tell this small kind lie, it's okay. Well, I tell them, I said, you know, you can start out small, because you're going to call them a white lie, and then these bigger lies, they're still going to be white lies. You know what I'm saying? Because you're always going to call them a white lie, no matter how small or big they are. So you know what? Just make it a point. Do not lie. Because the Bible says God detests a lying tongue or lying lips. So you know what? Are you still going to just say, okay, small kind. No. Just make it a point. I'm not going to lie. Because this is what pleases the Lord, when you have truthful lips. But then again, you know, sometimes people may say, you know, they didn't even know they were sinning or doing something that went against the Word of God. And I can understand this, because even when I was a new Christian, sometimes, you know, a more mature Christian said, Ben, you know what the Bible says about doing that? I'm going, I didn't know that, right? But here's the thing. It was a case with the Israelites, right, where they were simply saying, I never know that. Well, that's pigeon, right? But they were saying, I didn't know that either, that this was something that would displease God. Look what it says in Leviticus 4, 27 to 28. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If any of the common people sin by violating one of the Lord's commands, but what? They don't realize it. They're still what? Guilty. When they become aware of their sin, they must bring as an offering for the sin a female goat with no defect. So if they know they sinned, they had to make some kind of offering, right? A blood offering, you know, shedding of the blood of an animal. That's how they did it, you know, before Jesus came into the picture. But it says here, they don't realize it. Is that possible that we sin and don't realize it? Oh, yeah. Because the question, though, to ask is, now that you know it's sin, if someone told you, right, hey, that's a sin. You shouldn't be doing that. The Bible says so, and the person shows it to you, and you go, wow. The question is now, are you going to stop? You know? Now that you know, because you cannot say, oh, because I was ignorant, you know, because I didn't know, right? But, you know, often when John Lee and I, we counsel pre-marital couples, right, that want to get married, we talk about fornication. You guys know what fornication is, right? It's a person who is having sex outside the realm of marriage. So it could be the single person, you know, sleeping around, or the married person who is having sex with someone other than their spouse. This is what we call fornication. And sometimes, you know, we tell that to the couple, and they look so shocked. Really? You know? And they may even look a little remorseful. Wow. Never heard of that word before. And they could be Christians for like years, you know? And then, you know, I say to them, okay, good thing I told you. Now you know you guys are going to stop, right? And usually, they look at me, right? And first, usually it's the guy, right? They look at me. We really got to stop, Pastor? I said, it's the word of God, right? It says, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's on the list. One of them is the fornicator. That shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? You may not go to heaven. Oh. Okay. What are you going to do? Am I just going to say, no big deal, you know? I said, you guys still can do what you want. What kind of leader would I be if I would just say, okay, go ahead. No problem, right? I remember even one person said to me, come on, Pastor, we're all adults here, you know? It's our choice if we want to do this, right? I said to them, yes, it is your choice. You want to go ahead? You can, but I'm not going to marry you. Knowing that this is a sin that truly, it says, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to show you the scripture. It's up to you how you want to interpret it, but come on, sometimes you just read it for what it is. It's the truth. And then, you know, when they realize, okay, Pastor Ben's not going to marry us, okay. Well, what we got to do is maybe we'll just sleep in separate rooms or whatever. And I said, you know, you're not doing it for me, brother and sister. You're doing it for him because his word says so. Are you going to take the word of God seriously? Because just imagine, you cannot tell God, I don't know anymore, because you do know. It's just that you don't want to do it. Amen. You got to call it out and say, no, this is fornication. And I'm not going to live a life that's displeasing to God, because, you know, when you're married, yeah, then sure, no problem. You can do, you know, whatever you want at that point, you know, that you can, you know, enjoy it. But outside the realm of marriage, God says, no, this is not something we should do. And if we don't call out the sin of our wild horse, guess what? We'll never recognize it because we're just going to think, ah, no big deal, right? And therefore, we're never going to deal with it. So that's so important. If you know it's a sin, don't be playing around with it and just kind of thinking, okay, maybe God's okay with it. No, go through the scriptures and make sure, right, you know that this is something that you know for a fact that really would grieve the Holy Spirit. You make it a point. You call it out. You say, this is lying. This is fornication. This is whatever, right? And say, Lord, help me to no longer go there because I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. Amen? You got to call it out. Tell the devil, I ain't going to be deceived by you anymore. And it could be the reason why, you know, your life hasn't been fully blessed the way you want it. Or maybe, you know, your life really hasn't come to the point of, you know, how you would want God to bless your life. You kind of want, how come everybody else is blessed but not me? Right? It could be the very fact you're holding on to this sin. And once you call it out, ask God to remove it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to see how your life will change. You're going to see how things will change for so much better. You know, I tell you, just as simple as that. And we got to be like David. You know, David, he was a man after God's own heart, right? Did you know, if you read his readings, you know, read what he wrote, man, he's always calling out his sins. And he was grieved every time, you know, he knew he was doing something wrong that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. I want you to look at Psalm 32, 4 to 6. I want you to read what he says here. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. Okay, what is he saying here? He says, therefore, let all the, who? The godly pray to you while there is still time. He's talking about the godly people that are what? Sinning. They're doing wrong. Because sometimes people, oh, you're godly, you don't sin. No, yeah, you do. But the fact is, you make it right with God. You confess your sins. You repent of your sins and make it right with God. Because when we are honest with ourselves and with God, you're going to have great victory. It starts there. You have to be honest. Call it out and say, this is wrong. And stop making excuses. And we got to verbalize the truth about what our struggles are, about our temptations. And sometimes you got to find a brother or sister that you can really trust. You know, someone that you can have accountability, you know, with. And, you know, just confess these sins to a brother or sister, and as you give it to the Lord, he's going to break every chain. Just like the song we sang, break every chain. Doesn't matter what that chain, no matter how thick you think it is, no matter how, you know, heavy you think it is, God's going to break it. Amen. You'll be set free in the name of Jesus because you're going to give it to the Lord. Amen. Don't justify your sin. Be totally transparent with God in confessing your sins, and you're going to see the victory. And as this sin is totally gone in your life, you're going to look back at the end of 2020. I guarantee you. I know it's not even 2020 yet, but you're going to look at that. You're going to look at yourself at the end of 2020, and you go, "Wow, I had such a blessed year because you were willing to surrender it to God." Amen. I want you to look at point number two now. It says, "Decide to take action against your wild horse." You know, when the wild horse is starting to buck within you, you know, dude, sometimes, you know what I'm talking about? It could be a passing. It's like, you know, it's just like, you say, no, I don't want to do this. I got to get away. And it's like kicking you, saying, come on, come on, come on, right? And the devil's right there. Yeah, do it, do it, do it. And You know, we got a choice. Everyone say choice. Got a choice to choose what is of God or what is of our old worldly and fleshly selves. You got a choice. It's not like we're programmed as robots now that we're Christians, right? That we're always going to choose what is God. No, you're always going to have choice to the day you die, right? You're going to have choices to make. Are you going to choose God or are you going to choose what is of the devil or of your flesh? I want you to look at Ephesians 4, 21 to 24. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, what? Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So you can see, I underlined it. There's two things. We got to throw off our sinful nature or that wild horse. You got to throw it down, right? Throw it off. And because it'll still want to come out, right? It'll buck. It'll try to, you know, try to make you do things that you don't want to do. You got to throw it, you know, throw it down, right? That's your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So instead of letting this wild horse take control of you, right? What does it say? Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You got to cry out to the Lord. You got to cry out to the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord. Because it all starts up here. If you kind of think all these bad thoughts and negative thoughts, it's going to come out through your what? Your actions. So what do you got to do? You got to nip it in the bud before, you know, it really takes root in your mind and in your heart. Ask God to remove it. Stop thinking about, you know, the past things you used to do. You know, just say, in the name of Jesus, I will not give in. In the name of Jesus, I'm set free. And just keep going to God for help. Let the Spirit renew your mind and renew your attitude. And, you know, there lies within all of us a God-given power to choose what is right and what is of God. You know, it's a power no force in the universe can prevail against. You know, even Satan himself and all his demons cannot make a man or woman sin when they decided, I'm not going to do it because I love Jesus. Don't matter. No, Satan, because a lot of times people say, oh, the devil makes me do it every time. You know, you guys heard a comedian, Flip Wilson, right? The devil made me do it. Right? But, you know, the fact is, right, the devil has a big influence on us to do what is wrong. But ultimately, who makes the choice? We do. Come on, we do. And we got to make that decision that we're no longer going to do it. You know, the biblical word for the movement of the will away from sin and toward God is called repentance. To repent means you're going to get away from your sin. You're going to say, I don't want this sin. I know this is not what God wants me to do. And you move towards God. You're saying, I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look to you, Lord. That's what is called true repentance. And you say, I don't desire that anymore. Help me, Lord, to not desire that. And it basically means a deliberate change of mind and direction. It's like a spiritual 180, right? You kind of go, oop, I'm not going to go there anymore, right? You're doing a spiritual 180, and you're going to go straight towards the things of God. And you know, oftentimes when people come to a true repentance to God, they will sometimes do things that they're, you know, that are totally unexpected of them. You know, I mean, sometimes they are initially surprised themselves. I got to ask you, have you ever experienced that? That the fact that you became a believer in Christ, that you came to know Jesus, and suddenly you didn't want to do the things that you were once doing, even though you may be a new Christian, maybe even just for several weeks. I remember, you know, I just gave up the desire to hang out with, you know, my drinking buddies at the bar. You know, I was in college, and, you know, my friends would say, what's wrong with you? You know, it's just like, I don't want to do these things anymore, guys. And they would be like, so what, you in a cult now? You know, then another day he's like, you shave your head then? They were serious, you know? And I said, no, this is what, you know, I've learned, you know, going to church. You know, these are things that I know God doesn't want me to do. And they're not going to accept it, right? But, you know, I'm going to just tell them the truth. and let them know that I'm going to live a new life because I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, not too many years ago, you know, the newspapers carried the story of this man. His name is Al Johnson, and he's this Kansas man who came to faith in Jesus Christ. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But what made his story so remarkable was not about his conversion, okay, but it was the fact that as a result of his newfound faith in Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He confessed to a bank robbery that he had participated 4 to 5 years back. Can you imagine that, right? When he was like 19 years old, he committed this crime. And he came to know Jesus Christ intimately. And he just said, I can't just live on my life, you know, knowing I've done such a bad thing, right? So, you know, he confessed it to his church on a Sunday morning. He told them, yesterday I went to the police station and I told them, you know, about 4 to 5 years back, I robbed a bank with several other guys. But you know, the statute of limitations on the case had run out, right? And because the crime had been committed, you know, several years ago. So Johnson, he couldn't be prosecuted for the offense. But, you know, still, he believed his relationship with Christ demanded a confession. Whoo, would you do it, right? Think about something you did in the past. Okay, I'll go to that person and tell him what I did, right? And, you know what he even did? He was so convicted by the Holy Spirit, he even voluntarily repaid his share of the stolen money to the bank. Not like he had the money now. He made a loan. And he said, this is how much I took. I want you to have it. Oh, God took a hold of this guy's heart, right? I mean, who would do that? Well, I tell you, it should be every one of us who comes to know Jesus Christ. Your heart should be so convicted, you should be saying, sin disgusts me. Can we say that? Sin disgusts me. You know, I don't want to do it, right? And you know, the thing is, he even agreed to help the authorities locate the other two men. And, you know, I didn't say if they found the other two men, but, you know, the statute of limitations, you know, would not be able to, you know, give them the punishment that they deserve. But the fact is, you know, he just knew he's no longer the same person. He's a new creation in Christ. And that's what we all are. Amen? We got to be willing to say, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to make it right. I want you to look at Romans 8, 6 to 8. Why don't you read that with me? Ready?
Go.
So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. And so when we let our sinful nature control us, guess what? It's never going to get better. I'm going to tell you, you'll never mature as a Christian. Your faith will not mature. You got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Where every time you know you're doing something, even if it's just an insy-bincy, you know, teeny-weeny little bit, something that is questionable, you're going to say, I ain't going there because I don't want to displease my Father God. Even just so tiny. Everyone says, no, come on, you fuddy-duddy, you know. Because sometimes, like even New Year's, right, you know, when we have parties, you know, like at John Lee's relatives, they're saying, come on, Ben, just have one beer. You got to celebrate. And, you know, I just say, I decided, you know, I don't do that anymore. Not even a little sip, you know, not even a little drop. That's my decision, you know, and I decided I'm not going to do it. And I just said, thank you, but no thank you, you know. And sometimes we got to realize, especially I know that people are watching me, you know, people know I'm a pastor, right? And I don't want them to think, oh, look, he's just taking a sip. Hey, look, the pastor drinking, hey, must be okay. Hey, let's go party because the pastor, look at him, even though I'm taking a sip, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, people are watching you guys too. Especially the ones who are unbelievers, your relatives, whoever, your friends. You got to make a decision. No, I'm going to stand on what is truth, what is right, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what I know is displeasing to God because I'm going to let my mind be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, I recently read about a town in this remote portion of Labrador, Canada. It's called Wabush. I don't know if you heard of that, Wabush, which was completely isolated for some time. The only way you could get there is by helicopter. Can you imagine that? And so, you know, recently a road was cut through the wilderness to reach it. And Wabush now has one road leading into it. And thus, guess what? There's only one road leading out. One way to go in, because everything else is surrounded by trees. There's no path, no nothing, right? And so if someone would travel the unpaved road for 6 to 8 hours to get into Wabush, there's only one way that he or she could live. What do you got to do? You got to turn around and go that way, same path, right, that they came in. And you got to understand this. Each of us, by birth, arrives in a town called sin. Yeah, because we all got sinful nature, right? As in Wabush, there is only one way out, a road built by God himself. But in order to take that road, you got to first what? You got to turn around, because we all arrive in the same city called sin. But as a Christian, we had to make a U-turn and say, I'm not going to stay there, Lord. I'm going towards you. We all got to make that U-turn. You turn for Christ and go where God wants us to go. And that complete about face, right, is what the Bible calls repentance. And without it, there's no way out of this town. You got to do about face. Every Christian has to. We can't just keep on living our lives thinking, well, I still will dabble here in this sin, I'll dabble a little bit there in that sin. It's just a little bit. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. And we keep dabbling and dabbling and dabbling, and suddenly we can have a lot of dabbles, but we got a million of them, a million of these dabbling sins, right, as we call it. And guess what? Your life will never get to the point of where God wants it to be. You'll never experience the fullness of God's presence, because we think we're just dabbling when the Holy Spirit says, enough, child. I need the fullness of your heart in order to show myself fully to you. Amen? I want you to get point number 3 now. It says, receive power from God to overcome our wild horse. And no matter how honestly you confess your sins, and no matter how firmly you decide against your sin, your willpower alone does not possess the quality and kind of power you need to overcome. So what are we going to do, Pastor Ben? You're telling me you cannot. Well, yeah, you cannot and I cannot. But guess who can? Jesus is. And where is Jesus? He's in our hearts. He's inside of us. And what we have to realize is that this power to overcome a wild horse does not come within ourselves. For it is a power that is not from human origin. It comes from God. And this power is not a mysterious or magical thing. It's not, right? But we need a steady flow of this power in order to remain victorious over Satan and his attacks. And how do we keep this flow going? You got to be in the Word. You got to commune with Jesus. You got to be praying to him. You got to come to really know him intimately. So what is this power? Well, I want you to look what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He will tell us what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love, what? Compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So what is this power? It's the power of God's love. And sometimes people don't realize, wait, God's love is power? Yes, it is. This is what it tells us. For Christ's love compels us. What does it mean to compel? It means to give you great desire. It's not so much your force. You have this desire. You're compelled by the Lord to do what is good. You're compelled by the Lord to to reject sin, to reject the things that you know are evil and go against the word of God. And when you really discover how powerful the love of Christ is in your life, yeah, you're going to have great this compellation, right? Or great desire to do what is good. And the only way you're going to achieve this is you got to spend time with him. You got to just fall so deeply in love with Christ. And just like think about when you were dating, you know, your spouse, you know, your loved one, right? You know, how you just wanted to be with them. You know, it's when you first, you know, met the person and you think about them all the time. You're walking on cloud nine, you know. I was like that with Jonna Lee, right? And she was like that with me too, right? Right, hon? Who are you? but the fact, she was like constantly cloud nine, you know. But the fact is, you know, it should be like that. You know, with our Lord, when you really come to know him like that, so intimately, man, you're thinking about Jesus all the time and your heart is just, oh, so huge. You know, it's swelling up for him. You know, you just love the Lord so much. And that's why when you have this kind of love for Christ, you're going to always be setting your mind to do what is of God. And the love of Christ is the power that moves us to cease living for ourselves. We say, Lord, I want to live for you. I don't want to live for myself anymore. And when you can truly come to that point of saying, I'm living for you, really mean it, your life will change forever. I'm telling you. So much so that you will find that when you're experiencing God's love at its fullness in your life, you know what? Your unbelieving friends and family, guess what they're going to think? They're going to think you're crazy. Right? Because it says, if we are, what does it say there? Verse 13, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. So it's okay. If your friends say, how are you talking about God? What's wrong with you? You crazy or what? You know, I had my friends, you know, like I said, they thought I was going to shave my head and think I was going to do all these crazy things. And, you know, that's the world, right? And they said, so Ben, you're going to shave your head and you're going to chant like the Hare Krishna, right? And I go, no, you know, but that's what the world wants to do. They will mock you. They will laugh at you. It's okay, right? Because guess what? We're doing it for the Lord. We're not ashamed of God. Amen? We're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And so we just know for a fact we're pleasing God when we can just keep on talking about God. Because think about, like, the fact that when you're dating, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend, right, it's just like, you're gushing about them. You're always talking about them. And same thing. It should be the same way with Jesus. Do you do that? It should be right now. You know, you can't get enough about talking about Jesus. But think about this. When was the last time you told someone about God, about Jesus? Well, praise God, right? It should be every day. You know, because sometimes, you know, like I told you, my friend Ian, he's visiting now. And he's not a believer. He said he believes in God, but he doesn't go to church and all that. But the fact is, wow, you know, I just can't stop talking about Jesus with him, you know. And he was all ears. And I'm so glad, you know. And his family, they were just listening because it's coming out from my heart. It's not so much coming out of my mouth. It's coming out of my heart. And he knows that. And that's why I told him, because I love you, brother. And I haven't seen him like 30 years. But I told him, I said, I love you, brother. I got to tell you about my God. And I'm saying, you know, and he said, don't apologize, Ben. I want to listen. You know, he's like all ears. I said, praise God for that. And, you know, when that happens, when you keep on talking about God, you're so in love with Jesus, you know, your wild horse is tamed. Whew. It's under control, right? Because you were so filled with the love of Christ. Suddenly, that wild horse can buck. Be quiet. And praise God, praise Jesus, right? I mean, really, that's what's going to happen when you're so in love with Jesus. It's under control because the love of God has taken over your heart and soul. I want you to look at Romans 8, 37 to 39. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay, we read that earlier. Let's continue on. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what happens when you commune with God. When you spend time with him, you're going to realize absolutely nothing can come in between you and the Lord. No matter what you do, because you're so in love with him, you know that he truly has agape love, which is what? Unconditional love. He will never stop loving you. And that's why, you know, the more time you spend with him, the more the love of God will just fill your mind and heart. Wow, I tell you, it's such a wonderful thing. The more you really come to know him in this kind of way, wow, you never want to get your mind off the Lord. And you could say that the love of God is the super glue that holds your relationship together with him, because that's what it is. Our relationship with God, it's about what? Love. Because the Bible says God is love. So, yeah, he fills your heart. Guess what? You're going to experience his love. And he will prove time and time again how much he loves us by bringing the victories that we desire in our lives. He's just going to let it happen. Because just think about it. A parent, you know, just wants to bless their child. You know, wants to help them and just bring forth goodness in their lives. Same with our Papa God. He's going to shower your life with such blessings. And he's going to prove to you, yeah, this is how much I love you. I'm just going to bring forth these victories. You're going to see every area of your life being blessed by my very hand. And he's always going to be there to help us. You're never alone. No matter what the sin is, no matter what the struggle is, God says, I will be there. I'm going to help you, child, to defeat this sin so that you're no longer going to be held in bondage. You're going to be set free by my son. The blood of Jesus has set you free. And you're going to find that you're going to draw so close to him. Man, it's the best thing ever when you have such a close, intimate relationship with God. I want you to listen to Paul's prayer about God's love. This is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Let me stop right there for a second. His roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You know, just imagine his love is going to just take a hold of your heart. It's going to go so deep, right, that's what's going to give you strength. You got to understand, it's the love of God that will give you strength because your heart is so filled with the presence of God. And it tells us that he will give from his unlimited resources. That means it never ends, because guess what? He owns everything. So like I said earlier, you're never what? You're never lacking. You're always going to have what you need. Let's continue on. Verse 18. Ready? Go. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You're going to be made what? Complete. And this is what we need. We need to have the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And the only way you're going to experience this, you got to be filled with the love of Christ. I mean, you got to spend time with him. Make it a point this new year, man. You're just going to fall so in love with him. I mean, just the fact is, just like any relationship, right? When you come to know your boyfriend or girlfriend, the fact is, you got to spend time with him. Same thing here. You got to spend time with Jesus. And you're going to have such an intimate relationship with him. And, you know, the love of Christ is the power that moves us to cease living for ourselves and begin living for him. That's what it is. Remember, kind of change the way you think. When you think about the love of Jesus, the love of Christ, think power. The more you love him, more power God gives you. And you're going to see that you can defeat that sin, whatever struggle, whatever temptation. You're going to say, enough. Your heart is filled with so much of the love of God. you're going to say, no way, I'm not going to go there anymore. I mean, truly, when you have this, think God's love is power. Wow, you're going to fall so in love with him because suddenly you're going to say, I don't have a hard time resisting this temptation anymore. It's easy because I love God. Think about that for a second. You know, there's this well-known Christian author and songwriter. You probably heard of her. Her name is Gloria Gaither. You know, I think the brothers, I think the family, they're like country gospel. Yeah, Gaither. Is that how you say Gaither? They're like well-known country gospel singers. And she asked this question in one of her books. Is it really possible to be in love with God? You know, and she covers that in her book, right? And this is what she says. She says, God's love is always reaching. Reaching who? You and me. Always trying to reach us, right? Right from the beginning, she says, God's love has reached. And from the beginning, man has refused to understand. He says, but love went on reaching, offering itself. God's love offered the eternal, but we wanted the immediate. God's love offered deep joy, but we just want the thrills. God's love offered freedom, but we wanted license. God's love offered communion with God himself, but we wanted to worship at the shrine of our own minds. God's love offered peace, but we wanted approval for our wars. Even yet, she says, love went on reaching. And still today, after 2,000 years, patiently, lovingly, Christ is reaching out to us today. Right through the chaos of our world, through the confusion of our minds, he is reaching, longing to share with us the very being of God. His love is still longing. His love still is reaching right past the shackles of my mind. And the word of the Father became Mary's little son, and his love reached all the way to where I was. And you know what? Will God ever stop reaching for us? No. You know what? Instead of trying to take steps back, he's reaching. But over there, I see something I might like, something I did in the past, and God's still reaching. No, child, don't go there. We got to say, Lord, I'm going where you want me to go. Reach out your hand and say, Lord, take me there. And that's something we should focus on in this new year to come. Reach out your hand to God and say, Lord, I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. I trust you. I believe in you. And Lord, I want you more than anything. And you know, this wild horse, this sinful nature in us, right, will always try to distract us from what God wants for us. This sinful nature will always try to pull us away, right? We're getting closer. We take several steps, you know, forward towards God, and this sinful nature, this wild horse, starts bucking us, you know, and we start going back. No, say, wild horse, hey, in Jesus' name, you're not gonna tempt me. You're not gonna make me do things I don't want to do, and make it a point. You're always gonna go forward with God. Amen. I want you to look at the bottom line verse now. You know, if it is truly the power of God's love that will tame our wild horses in overcoming sin, we must always keep our love for him in check. Because sometimes we think, you know, well, I love God with all my heart. Yeah, you're just saying that, right? But do you really love him? Like they say, the proof is in the pudding. The pudding is your life. Are you living a life that is truly pleasing to him? Are you living a life that is exemplary of the word of God? Is it according to how Jesus would live? Who? We got to ask ourselves. That's how you keep your heart in check. Because it's easy to say, I love the Lord. I love you, Lord. And I live my... Yeah, you can sing that, but do you really mean it? Really mean it? Because if you really do, I'm going to tell you, your life will not be the same. You know, you're going to see that you're always going to desire to make your relationship with him stronger and stronger and stronger. And look what Jesus says here in Revelation 2, 4 to 5. He spoke this to the church of Ephesus, okay, in the book of Revelation. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have what? You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Just think about this. What does a lampstand do? It gives off light. He says, you got to realize that you've done wrong, you sinned, and you come back to the first love that you had for me. Because think about this, you know, it's when I really knew my heart belonged to Jesus. It's not about even when you said the sinner's prayer. Think about the time when you really fell in love with Jesus. You just say, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to do whatever you ask. Lord, I'm all yours. I mean, did you ever get to a point like that? I know I did. And you know, it's not the day that I said the sinner's prayer. No. You know, because I knew in my heart, I'll go to church, you know, from now on, right? I'll go to Bible study. But I didn't really have a deep love. But when you came to experience God in such a deep kind of love, man, it's just like Jesus is wanting that again. Because when we leave our first love, you know, the busyness of our days, sometimes we don't pick up the Bible anymore. We don't spend time in prayer. We just go through the motions. We go to church, but we don't take the time to really commune with him. I'm going to tell you, this grieves the Holy Spirit because he's wanting so much to be with his kids, to be with his children. Let's make it a point. Let's spend time with him. And you know, we know God will love us no matter what. But you know, his love is the strongest in us when our love for him is very strong. And we got to make it a point in this new year where we're going to, starting now, we don't have to wait till next year. Starting now, I'm going to build my relationship with God. I'm going to love him more. I want him to love me more. And I just know it's going to be such a wonderful year. Amen. I want to conclude by showing you this video. Yeah, this is not the actual video I watched, but it's a video of a horse trainer training a horse. As you watch this video, I want you to imagine this, that wild horse you're going to see, that's your sinful nature. And think of the trainer that you're going to see, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? Just kind of get that in your mind, all right? And I'm going to have Benson play that for us.
With the Ariscos subdued, the Gauchos make the day-long trek back to the main ranch, where taming can begin. From the wild herd, they have chosen just three. Today, the focus intensifies. Edito will face one arisco, alone.
Desde chico me gustaron los caballos y me gustó la parte de domar, digamos, de poder convertir un caballo de arisco a manso.
Each gaucho has his own style of taming.
Lo que tenés que lograr es captar la atención del potro. Entonces lo que haces es asustarlo hasta que se dé cuenta que si te mira, vos estás quieto y tranquilo, y si él está mirando para otro lado, hay algo que lo asusta.
The mayor has to decide whether to trust Vitito. He watches her ears and nostrils. Patiently, he works his magic.
Es una concentración entre él, entre los dos, ¿viste?
La satisfacción más grande que me da es poder andar o montar un caballo que lo domé yo.
In just 3 hours, this mare has gone from wild to tame as she begins a new life with the gauchos.
I was so touched by that when, you know, the trainer was reaching out towards the horse. You see how gentle, just really just showing to the horse, you can trust me. And I just thought about that. You know, Father God, he's always reaching towards us. He's patient with us, you know. He could have said, what's wrong with you, right? Just like trainer, he could have got a stick and say, horse, what's, you know. But no, God, he's always patiently reaching towards us. Say, child, come. I want you to receive my blessings, but you must do it my way. Child, I love you. We got to listen for that. We got to let the Lord tame, you know, that spirit, that sinful nature within us, that we know that if we don't allow ourselves to be controlled in that way, you know, we're just going to do whatever we want, and our lives will never get better. We're going to know that the devil is going to be right there telling us, no, just do it like everybody else. Don't worry about what God is saying. Don't worry. No, listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's always, always reaching towards us. Amen? And he loves you more than you shall ever know. Let's make it a year that I say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to go back to my worldly ways, my fleshly ways, Lord. I'm going to walk strongly towards you. Amen? Let's go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that had been spoken. And Father God, we know our hearts belong to you. And as we listened to the message today, Father, I know, Lord, some of us may be saying, you know, I kind of realize that wild horse that is within me, I'll be honest with you, I've been letting it have its way. Even though I say I'm a Christian, even though I say I believe in Jesus Christ, I know this wild horse has been having its way in my life. You know, the first thing we must do, we got to be honest with the Lord. And we got to say, Lord, I know I haven't been living a life that is true to you. But Lord, as I heard the word of God today, I know my heart is convicted. And Lord, I desire you more than anything else, and I need your help. Be honest with God. Tell him you need his help. And whatever struggle you may be experiencing right now, know that God can set you free. Amen? Know that God is the one that can bring victory in your life if you allow him to help you. And if this is your heart's cry, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, Pastor Ben, that is me. And I'm asking Papa God to help me. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is my heart, Lord. That is my heart. Father, praise God. All right, can you put your hands down? Oh, praise God. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I desire you more than anything else. Forgive me if I've been living a life that is untrue to you. But Lord, I want to just let you know from this day forward, I'm going to give my life fully unto you. I want to let you know, Father, I love you with all my heart. And I pray, Father, as truly your Holy Spirit's presence fills us, Father, we know we're never lacking. We always have what we need because, Father, you're going to bring victory after victory after victory after victory in our lives. Because, Lord, that's how much you love us. And we just want to tell you, Father, our lives are yours. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Let's give him a clap offering. Why don't we all stand?